Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back, friends. You're friends. You're all of our friends now. Yes, you're the Wonderland on Points family. Welcome back. Today, we are talking with our friend Emily from A Mom Explores. She is going to tell us her top five weekend getaways for families to adventure and see this beautiful country that we call home. So I cannot wait for you guys to hear that. But first, we are going to hit some important news, breaking news that's been happening in the points and miles world over the last couple of weeks. There has been a merger and a baby is coming forth. Joanna, tell us about it.
It is not the merger of Canva and ChatGPT, because everyone's talking about them having a baby as well. No, this is points and miles specifically, you guys. Hawaiian Airlines and Alaskan Airlines have joined up. And for anybody that hasn't been out of the loop online and hasn't been seeing that, why does this matter, Mary Ellen? Why is this important? Why are we on the edge of our seats with excitement about the potential here?
I know, because the first thing I thought is, I live on the East Coast. Why do I care about Hawaiian and Alaskan Airlines merging? Mm-hmm. But I care very much, because every time I go to book international flights to Europe from the East Coast to South Korea, you know I want to go there, I see the cheapest flights. If I try to minimize the taxes that I'm going to have to pay and really get the lowest out-of-pocket price I can, it is always booking through Alaska, and it is hard to get Alaskan miles. It is very hard to do until now, because my favorite bank, I'm going to always say that, because people always say my favorite
gonna
bank.
It's going to be confusing to people. They're going to think you're some kind of Chase affiliate. No, Mary Ellen's favorite bank is different than everyone else's favorite bank, you guys.
My favorite bank, Amex, is partners with Hawaiian Airlines. Because of this merger, in theory, coming very, very soon, we should be able to transfer points from our Amex accounts to Hawaiian, and then Hawaiian airline miles either will become Alaskan miles, or you can transfer to Alaska miles. All of that at the time of this recording is still not been 100% laid out, but it is coming very soon, supposedly. And so now, if you have American Express points, you are probably going to be able to book some pretty sweet deals with Alaskan airline miles. And I am pumped about it.
Me too. The redemptions are crazy. And I remember talking about this when we had Betsy on to talk about Alaska. And I was just a little bummed that I didn't have a Safeway in Missouri. Like, I couldn't be accumulating these Alaska points as easily as some people, because those redemptions, I mean, for example, you guys, we were looking up where we might want to go to celebrate a certain someone's super fun 40th birthday. And one of the options was St. Kitts. And one of the redemptions that came up was a 7,000 point flight to St. Kitts. And it was Alaska flights. Now, we know that because of partnerships, oftentimes you might be able to book something with Alaska points, but you're flying on an American Airlines flight or something similar. But this just means that that entire world is open for you. And I already love American Express points the way that Mary Ellen does, but this takes their value, in my opinion, to the next level. Like this might start becoming the first place that I recommend people start instead of the second under Chase. So I guess we're just going to have to stay tuned. And our last little bit of housekeeping before we let you hear this fantastic episode, which, by the way, has a surprise location at the end. We told you 5, but just stay tuned. There might be a surprise 6th. Anyways, you'll have to listen to find out. Our budget challenge starts tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow. You better get yourself signed up today because it is the last day. You don't want to jump in partway on this, although we probably would let you if you wanted to, but don't do that. Start from the beginning. Get a full month in.
Yeah, I'm excited. My budget is excited. My wallet is excited for me to buckle down and really see how much money we can save this month, this coming month, October. Just eliminating all of the little non-essential impulse spending types of things. I'm pumped for it. I really am. I want to buckle up because the holiday season is coming. I know expenses may get a little out of control in November, December. And so October is the perfect time to really buckle down for a month and concentrate on not spending more than we have to. So I'm excited for it. Yes, please do join us no matter what time it is within the month. We'll be posting about it in our Facebook group. So this is a good reminder to join that on our Instagram pages. So check that out. And now let's talk about our top 5 weekend trips with our friend Emily.
Let's do it.
Today, we are so blessed to be joined by a wonderful travel blogger, Emily, who focuses on all things family travel. She is joining us today to share some of her top weekend getaways for families. So I'm excited. Sometimes really fun, quick weekend getaways, they're just the best. They rejuvenate you and they help break up the year. It doesn't always have to be a big, elaborate trip that you go on. Sometimes just a one little weekend getaway is just absolutely best. And it's the most that you can handle if you have toddlers. Okay. So that's me. Sometimes 2 or 3 nights is the most I can do. So Emily, thank you for joining us. We cannot wait to hear from you. Tell our listeners a little bit about your family and what kind of travelers you have.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me here. And yes, as you mentioned, I'm Emily. I'm a family travel content creator, blogger, and I have 4 kids. And I always used to say 4 young kids, but we're kind of moving into the elementary age age group, and it's kind of been really magical. But I got my start as a family travel content creator when the kids were babies and toddlers. And so for a long time, that was what I talked about, is travel with really little kids and how it's really hard, but you know, it's possible. And here are some tips to make it work. And when I got started, we lived in Florida. We lived in Palm Coast, which is between Daytona Beach and St. Augustine, Florida. And so we had a lot of like day trips, weekend trips really nearby to us when we lived in Florida. And so that was kind of how I started, was like you're saying, the quick weekend getaways, the quick day trips. Start small, train the kids to be good travelers. And now that, you know, my Instagram has grown and my blog has grown, we have since moved to Wisconsin. And so a lot of my content is actually international travel, big spring break trips, big summer trips with the kids. So we've definitely grown from the weekend trips now to the kind of more advanced travel, the bigger, longer vacations with kids.
Your Instagram is just the most magical place. I was scrolling through there today and then I like couldn't stop. I was like, oh my gosh, especially where you took your daughter to Scotland for her 11th yes. birthday. Mine's about to turn 13. And I was like, what party do you want? She's like, I don't really want a party. And then I saw that today and I was like, should we go to Scotland? Like we should just do it. It's in December. I mean, I feel like I could pull it together with some points and miles, which is kind of our whole thing here.
Sure.
So you're such a great account for anybody to follow if they have kids and families and want to travel. I mean, so many good tips. So what got you into starting to share that world with people online? What's your background? How did you start there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was a Spanish teacher. I was a high school Spanish teacher before I had kids. And then we moved to Florida. My husband got a teaching job there, and I decided to stay home with the kids kind of as our family grew. And so I was just kind of like blogging for fun at the time. I just I've always loved writing. And so I was just kind of keeping an online journal, and it was mostly motherhood focused. And then kind of out of the blue, a connection that we had, like a loose connection, someone I went to college with, knew that I blogged, knew that I kind of liked to travel. And he reached out and he said, I'm an editor at, you know, this big travel website, and we're looking for a family travel writer. Would you like to freelance and do a few articles a month? And it was like my dream job dropping into my lap as a stay-at-home mom. Like, and I kind of clarified, I was like, you know, I've never like done any travel writing before, right? And he's like, well, I've read your writing on your blog. I can tell you, like, you could put together an article, you'll be fine. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll try it. And so that was kind of how I started. It was awesome. Just like writing for a bigger travel website. And as we traveled more and we got more opportunities through this job, I was, of course, sharing them on Instagram. And then after a while, I made the decision, like, you know what, I think I want to like try to do this kind of as a legit job. And so eventually my Instagram turned from like motherhood and health focus to like, we're a family travel account now. And same with my blog. My blog wasn't always travel focused. So I kind of like just started honing in on that. And that was kind of how we started.
What a cool, cool story. So you have a ton of experience, and this is going to be the perfect place for our listeners to start if they're looking for a good family weekend trip. And then they're going to want to be sure to go follow your page to get more into those longer, amazing trips. But our goal for today is the top five places that you can enjoy a quick, easy, fun weekend trip with your family that hopefully won't break the bank. So our plan today is to kind of go through each of these one at a time. You tell us your best tips, and then we're going to interject little points and miles secrets along the way. We know that you have used the companion pass and you've done some stays at Hyatt. So you're a little in the points and miles game, right?
Yeah, for sure. I dabble. I always say I dabble, and it's really just to offset the cost of all the trips we take now. Since it is my work, I feel like we travel a lot more than kind of the average family. And so this just helps to offset the cost a little bit. But I feel like it's such a big – points and miles is such a big world. I just feel like I'm dipping my toes in now and learning so much. So I love podcasts like yours where I can keep learning.
You're about to take the deep dive after this.
Love it.
That's our goal for sure.
Okay, Emily. So are we going in order? Is this a ranked top five, or is this a no particular order top five?
I would say no particular order. I don't know that I've necessarily thought to rank them. So this is not really in any particular order.
Okay, so this is going to be a weekend trip, depending on where you live. Although flights these days, pretty much everywhere, especially in the continental U.S., in the lower 48, pretty much anything can be a weekend trip these days, mm-hmm. which is really awesome in a spectacular time that we're living in. Because even in my parents' generations, my mom never rode a plane. I mean, travel just to up and go to Wisconsin for the weekend or California for the weekend, that never would have happened. So I love that we're living in a time when hopping on a plane for the weekend trip is very doable and very reasonable. So no matter where you live in the country, hopefully this top five can be some ideas for you of a great weekend trip. So hit us with number one.
Okay, great. The first one I'm going to give is Las Vegas, Nevada. And whenever I say that, people kind of give me a look like, why would you take kids to Las Vegas? And we did that for our spring break 1 year. So we spent a whole week, but you could easily just pick and choose what you wanted to do for a quick weekend or long weekend getaway to Las Vegas. And the majority of what we did was actually outside of Vegas. And we just used Vegas as our home base. So we flew into Harry Reid International right in Vegas, and there are tons of flights into Las Vegas, like a lot of cheap flights, like that I've seen deals pop up for. So this would be really easy to do.
I feel like Vegas is one of the best destinations for good cheap flights, points and miles flights. Yes. You can definitely get a deal to Vegas.
Agreed. Yeah. So that was kind of how we decided on Vegas, as we found a cheap flight deal on, it's now called Going, but used to be Scott's Cheap Flights. And I would say that my top recommendations for like things to do in the surrounding area would be, my absolute favorite was Valley of Fire State Park. It's within an hour drive of Las Vegas, and it's just very otherworldly, but easy to do in one day or half a day. And it's just these like beautiful red rocks and like rock formations and cool hikes out in the desert. There's like a slot canyon you can walk through with kids. There's just so many like unbelievable spots in this one park, but it's super easy to navigate, like two main roads. Like you cannot get lost, but there's tons to do with kids there. So that is one of my favorite things to do.
I totally agree. I love Valley of Fire. We went there when our family went out to Zion National Park, because it's kind of en route from flying into Vegas and then going out to Zion or Bryce Canyon, all those national parks. But Valley of Fire, we felt like was such a hidden gem. And I love that you said it's kind of otherworldly, because when we went, any Star Wars fans in the house will appreciate this. I had my daughter, for a brief moment, she was super into Star Wars. And so I went on Etsy and got the most gorgeous Rey. Is it even Rey? See, I'm not a Star Wars person, but my family is. I think it's Rey in the newer Star Wars movies. I got her that dress, and we didn't do like a official photo shoot, but I took all these pictures of her running around Valley of Fire State Park in that dress. And it was so perfect. Like, it really seemed like she was on another planet. And we just had the best day there.
That is such a fun idea.
Magical. I didn't know about that. I gotta
see
those
pictures. I'm gonna dig those pictures up.
Put those on the internet, please. I do want to remind people that when it comes to renting a car, you have a couple of options where points and miles are concerned. You could erase your rental car purchase using Capital One purchase eraser points. Or maybe this is a really good time to book through a portal of some kind and get a bunch of extra points for that money that you have to spend on that car rental anyways. Do you have any great tips for rental car deals, or do you use Turo? What's your preferred rental car method?
I have used Costco, like our Costco membership, to find cheap rental cars. And then I think the other one is called something like very simple, like rentalcars.com or something along those lines, and I can't remember, but just some of those aggregator sites tend to have pretty good deals. Otherwise, I just have gone with like budget, like really whatever the cheapest I can find is what I go with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just wanted to stick that in there because, you know, rental cars are one of those big unavoidable costs in a lot of ways.
Especially for big families like ours.
Oh my gosh, I know. You probably have to have an extra large car. Minivan, that is the one thing.
SUVs.
Yeah. And those are a lot more. It jumps in price a ton from the little small compact cars to the big ones.
Yeah.
Okay, take us through your next part of Las Vegas. You said Valley of Fire State Park. I think we're also going to talk Seven Magic Mountains and Red Rock.
Yeah, so both of those, I would do like those in the same day because we didn't find we needed to spend nearly as much time at either of those spots. Red Rock Canyon was beautiful, but I definitely think it would be better for families with older kids because a lot of the hikes we looked up just seemed a little bit too intense for us at the time. I still had a baby in the baby carrier, and I was like, we tried to do a hike and the rocks were so slippery, and we're like, this, like, everyone was having meltdowns. So that was better, I thought, for like a scenic drive. And then Seven Magic Mountains was like, if you don't know what that is, it's that art installation in the desert. And it's like the colorful rocks stacked on each other. And it's so fun. We went right before sunset with the kids, and it wasn't crowded at all. There were a few people there, but we just like set up the tripod and took some family photos there right before sunset, and then just let the kids literally just run around. And it was amazing. Like, we just had the best time, like, seeing it and letting the kids roam free. And really easy to do.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's really
cute. It sounds gorgeous.
Cool. It is. It's
I've seen pictures of it. I don't feel like people talk about it as much as like the big national parks and all of that kind of stuff. Right. I feel like it gets forgotten. And what a cool place to take family photos. It's a great idea.
Yes, it was. It's one of my favorite photos we've taken. It's hanging up in the house. So Yeah, just a cool spot to take the kids. You don't need to be there long because there's nothing to do there except see the rocks stacked on each other, but just a cool thing to see, spend a few hours. For that trip, like if you're doing a weekend trip, I would say those are the main things to do within like an easy 1 hour drive of Las Vegas. Kind of like you mentioned, you could drive to a national park nearby. So if you're doing this as part of a larger trip, we went to Death Valley National Park for an overnight trip, but there's also Zion National Park nearby. And even a few other national parks if you're willing to drive a lot further. But for a weekend trip, I think the ones I mentioned should cover it. And you could also like spend a day in Vegas visiting the different hotels. The M&M Factory is so fun for kids. Coca-Cola store. Mm. And the Bellagio Fountains was a fun show for the kids to see too.
In Vegas, in terms of points and where to stay on points, truly you can find every brand of hotel in Vegas. That's not hard to do. But our favorite are Hyatts because Chase points are just the most valuable when transferred to Hyatt. You can always get really, really awesome value. So Mary Ellen, which hotels are we going to recommend in Vegas?
So if you want that strip experience on the strip, the closest thing that's kind of a true Vegas hotel by the strip that you can book with Hyatt points would be the Rio Hotel and Casino. So if you're with kids, you may not want to be quite so on the strip. When we went to Vegas, we kind of did one of each. We stayed at one that was very close to the strip, like a block or two off. And then we also stayed at one that's just like a mile and a half away. And so there are Hyatt Place. Las Vegas is an option. That's a category 3, which I'll remind everybody, category 4 and less, you can use free night certificates. So maybe if you're flying in, you maybe want to go see the strip, but not stay there. And then you're going to go out to Valley of Fire or something else outside of Vegas. Then maybe that Hyatt Place Las Vegas, it's a category 3, would be the best route to go.
Absolutely. Those are great recommendations. And because we have 5 places, we're just going to keep it moving on to place number 2. Emily, take it away.
All right. My second suggestion is Washington, D.C. And though the city itself can be expensive, I think it can easily be done on a budget and it's perfect for a weekend trip. We flew into DCA Airport, which is Ronald Reagan. That's the closest airport to like downtown DC. And I loved it because you could take the metro straight from the airport right into downtown. We stayed at a Hyatt Place, which I'm sure you're going to talk about the Hyatt options, but we stayed at a Hyatt Place and there was like a metro stop a block away. And to not have to bring a car seat for my daughter was like, it felt like a luxury.
I find more and more that one of my criteria for booking a weekend trip is where can I go that has public transportation so that I don't have to take a car seat or rent a car somewhere that we can just hop on the train or the bus and not really think about that. You know, when we still have a youngin that needs all the things, if I can eliminate some of that from our travel, then right now that's kind of dictating the choices that I make.
Yes, I'm 100% with you. And our options are few and far between here in the U.S. where we have great public transportation in a city. True. And D.C. is definitely one of those great options. And when I shared about that trip, we actually just took a 24-hour trip with my youngest. And wow. I had so many people like message me and comment like, I booked a trip after seeing this, like mainly because of the ease factor. Like we didn't have to rent a car, didn't have to bring a car seat. Like it just was so easy to do with a toddler. So the reason I would say Washington, D.C. is a great budget option is because almost everything there is to do and see in Washington, D.C. is free to do. So there are like countless monuments, memorials, and museums, and almost all of them are free. And so you can pack a lot of history, culture, and just cool experiences into a weekend getaway with kids. And honestly, only spend your money on food. So spend a lot of time on the National Mall. The National Mall is like that, not a square, like a big rectangle area where all the monuments and museums are located. So they're all within an easy walk of each other. On one end, you have the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial. And then on the other end, you have like all of the museums to choose from. We didn't really go inside any of the memorials except for the Lincoln Memorial. Like, we didn't go to the top of the Washington, D.C. one, but that could be fun to do with older kids. The two museums we really liked with a toddler were the National Museum of American History. She really liked the transportation area because there was like a train you could go on and stuff. She didn't care about the rest of the history, but my mom came with me on that trip, and she and I were very interested in that. And then the National Museum of Natural History is the other one. And that one is really, really appealing to young kids because there's like just like a lot of animals around there for them to be curious about, and a lot of exhibits that would really draw their attention. You can also walk the Tidal Basin, which is where the Jefferson Memorial is located. And that's super fun to do in spring if you can make it in time for the cherry blossoms. We just missed the cherry blossom bloom, so they were kind of falling off the trees by that time, but it was still very beautiful. And my daughter took a stroller nap while we walked around the Tidal Basin, so that was perfect for a toddler.
Love a good stroller nap. That's the best.
Love it. Mm-hmm. And then the last suggestion I'll give is the World War II Memorial, which I don't know how new it is, but since I had been to Washington, D.C., it was fairly new. And it's got like a big pond, and you are allowed to put your feet in the pond. Like, you can't swim in there or anything. Or I don't know. I wouldn't say a pond. It's like a fountain pool kind of thing. And you can put your feet in there, which, like, after a long day of walking and walking and walking, which is all you do in D.C.
So much walking.
It was nice to just, like, put your feet in. And we were there, like, right as the sun was setting. And you can see the Lincoln Memorial in the background. And it's just really moving because you've got all the dedications to the people that gave their lives in World War II. And it was just very moving. And also, like, nice with kids because they like putting their feet in the water and just kind of a fun experience. So that
I think all of the monuments in DC, still remember because it was so powerful. The first time I went to DC, it was on like a middle school field trip.
Yes.
And we did go to the memorials at night. And it made them so powerful because they have lights on them. So this is one suggestion I would say for people. If you do want to stay at a hotel that's truly in walking distance to the National Mall, it's cool because in the evening, you know, maybe you go out to eat or go take a rest and then go back out and walk around a little bit more at night. And it's very moving, all of those things, the Vietnam, World War II. I mean, there's a bunch of memorials and they're just really special at night.
Yeah, I could see my kids loving that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also want to mention there is a free national zoo. Yes. It's not right at the mall, but it's not terribly far away, and you can ride the train there. So if you want to hit up a zoo with kids, there's a free zoo. And then if you don't fly into DCA, if you go into IAD, which is Dulles, you could also fly into BWI Baltimore. For DC, you kind of have three choices. DCA is definitely the easiest and best choice, especially if you don't want any kind of car or transport, you know, just very easy transportation. But closer to Dulles, IAD, which is technically in Virginia, but right there at Washington, D.C., there's an Air and Space Museum that is really cool. It has all these airplanes hanging up, like a really large museum that I remember taking my son to as a toddler, and he just ran around looking at all the planes and was amazed. So that's a great option. If you do have a car and you can venture out a little further, then you may want to hit that up.
And I think we already touched on the fact that there is a bunch of Hyatt options. There's so many Hyatts in DC, you guys. I was supposed to go there a couple months ago for a Points and Miles meetup. I didn't end up going, but even just trying to figure out which Hyatt I wanted to book was difficult. I ended up booking the Grand Hyatt for 23,000 points a night. So I did notice the prices are a little higher. The categories are a little higher because it's a pretty sought after area to be in, but they all look lovely. And you stayed in a Hyatt Place, which we know on this podcast usually means free breakfast, which is a big game changer when you're traveling with a family. And we were going to ask you about food recommendations, but you told us something that made us both very happy, which is you guys don't do a lot of eating out on your trips. You mostly do grocery stores and the free breakfast and that kind of stuff. And we love that here because we're all about the least amount out of pocket possible. So that fits right with what we like. But if you have any recommendations as we go on, like, places people should stop for groceries that are, you know, easy to get to in these different locations, stop us and just let us know, because that is something Absolutely. Our listeners will definitely be interested in. Perfect.
The DC area was hit hard in the last Hyatt devaluation. Almost all of the DC Hyatts went up a category, making them more expensive, which was very disappointing. But if you don't want to stay in a Hyatt, there's good news. There are many of every kind of chain in the DC area, and one particularly spectacular hotel is in the Marriott family, and that's the Gaylord National Harbor. It is gorgeous. The National Harbor area is really nice. It's not terribly far from the National Mall, but it is a kind of separated. It's not right there walking distance, but it's beautiful. There's a large Ferris wheel that you can ride at the National Harbor, and then the Gaylord, all Gaylord hotels, if you stayed in those, Gaylord Opryland in the Nashville area, there's one down in Orlando, they're all spectacular. And the Gaylord National Harbor is no different, especially at the holidays. They always have one of those big ice exhibits where you can wander through, and there's giant ice sculptures and cool things to do. So that's a good option, especially if you're in the Marriott family.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, moving on from the coasts, we're going to head towards kind of the middle, South Dakota. I don't think I've ever even talked to anyone that's been to South Dakota before now. So tell us what's to visit. I want to know.
Yes, this would be a bit more of an ambitious weekend getaway. So I would say this would be more of a long weekend getaway. We did 4 nights in South Dakota. So it can be done, but you're going to just plan for a lot of driving. So if you are a road tripping type of family, this would be a good one for you. So this was the first big trip we did after we moved back to Wisconsin. We drove all the way from Wisconsin to South Dakota. So if you live in the surrounding states, you might just want to drive. If you live down south or in one of the coasts, you might fly into Rapid City, but I think it's a very small airport, so your options are going to be limited and maybe expensive. So Minneapolis, St. Paul might be another option, or Denver. But again, you're going to be doing a lot of driving from either of those airports. So there is actually a ton to see in South Dakota, especially on the west side of the state. And I was actually shocked as a Midwesterner myself to see that the Midwest could look like that. So,
I'm from Missouri, so it's always funny to me to think about South Dakota even being the Midwest, but I've been told it is.
Yeah, you could think of it more as like almost out west, especially the western part of the state. I would say like has more of the geography of a western state, but yes, if we can claim them as the Midwest, we'll take them. I would say for sure Custer State Park was one of our favorite spots as a family. There's a wildlife loop you can drive, and you can maybe see bison. That's where they have the begging burros, which are the donkeys that you can feed. They stick your heads in your car windows and you can like feed them carrots or something.
Fun.
So like bring carrots or something with you that you can feed them. And then you might see like prairie dogs and things like that on the drive. And then to me, the best part of Custer State Park was Sylvan Lake. As it sounds like it's a beautiful lake, but it's got like a rock formation in the background that's really pretty. And there's like hikes you can do around there. There's a really easy loop hike that we did with the kids, and just the scenery there is pretty epic. You can also see Mount Rushmore Memorial. You can see Crazy Horse Memorial. I would group those two together in the same day. That was really cool for the kids to see. And then something that I don't see as many people talk about is the town of Hot Springs, South Dakota. It has the mammoth site there. So what the mammoth site is like a live archaeological dig site where tons of mammoth remains have been found, and it's still an active dig site.
Wow.
And so you
that
can see
is so cool.
Or paleontologist might be the right word. I'm probably going to get corrected on that. I think it's paleontologist. You can actually see people like digging for fossils there.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just amazing. And to hear like how all of the mammoths ended up in that spot and how they theorized that happened is really cool. And then they have a program for kids where kids can learn how to be a paleontologist, and then they get to like dig for mammoth bones, and they're obviously not real mammoth bones, but like they like section off a like little dig site for the kids and teach them how to like brush for the bones. My kids like absolutely loved that. It was one of the highlights of our trip. And that is awesome. Kind of close to Wind Cave National Park. So if you're a national park family, I would combine those in one day, and you can do a cave tour in Wind Cave National Park. There are hikes there too, but I would say the cave is kind of the highlight.
The thing.
Yes. And then the other national park to see is Badlands National Park, which is a bit farther away from everything else that I talked about. All of those other things are in the Black Hills area. And then Badlands is closer to like the center of the state. And just like the name of the park suggests, it's these beautiful Badlands with rock formations and everything. And it's just, I know I said this about Las Vegas too, but also very otherworldly and crazy that you're seeing it in the Midwest. Because I personally, when we visited that park, I had never seen anything like that. And I was just like, it was very breathtaking, like such a beautiful national park.
Hey, everybody, we are going to get right back into today's episode. But first, we want to tell you about a brand new way that you can support the podcast. If we are bringing value to you, if you are learning new things that can help your family travel more for less, then consider buying us a coffee.
We put a ton of hours of work into this podcast every single week, and it is our mission and our goal to teach you guys how to travel on points, to create a space where you guys feel like you're just sitting down with a friend to have a cup of coffee. We want you to laugh. We want you to cry. We want you to hear all of the vacation stories that will inspire you and your family. So if you are getting value from us and you are enjoying these episodes, this is such a great way to show your support.
So visit buymeacoffee.com/wonderlandonpoints. When you choose to become a sponsor of the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee, you are actually helping us get the money that we need to buy nicer equipment, a new computer for Joe. We have some very tangible items that this will help with. So we hope you will consider it. Now back to today's episode. Listeners to our podcast might know our recurring guest and friend, Lindsay. Lindsay takes her family around to a lot of national parks, and I heard great things about Badlands from her family. They truly, like, they went on a massive national park trip to a lot of the parks out west, and Badlands actually ended up being one of the highlights for them. They really loved it. They have they have a lot of kids as well. They have, I think at the time, they have since adopted two kids that they were fostering. So now they have five kids that live at the house. I think at the time they just had three kids with them, but their kids really loved Badlands.
Oh, nice. Yeah, ours loved it too. It was amazing.
Yeah, I feel like I hear that about that particular national park again and again. So hotels in areas where national parks tend to be prevalent are usually harder to find, and especially on points. So there are options like a Best Western, a Super 8, like some of the smaller ones. And there's a couple different options for what you can do. First, you could book through, for example, the Southwest Hotels portal, because they often have great deals where you can earn a huge chunk of points for booking some of these cheaper hotels. And then we don't usually recommend booking through a travel portal. Usually we recommend transferring your points out, but this is just anecdotal. My parents went to Olympic National Park recently, and they booked a cabin for them and their friends through the Chase travel portal using points. It was I think it was something like 20,000 points a night, and they got a cabin for all four of them, and there were lots of options near Olympic, and I think that that tends to be something that you can find more easily, is a place to book through the portal, because the portal really is going to list all of the accommodation options. It just limits you in terms of the bigger people that you're transferring points out to and getting those really good deals. But it's not totally undoable to book a place on points, even when you're staying somewhere pretty remote.
And I think it's a good opportunity to get your yearly hotel credits.
Yes.
So like with the Chase Sapphire Preferred, when you have a $50 hotel credit to use every year, this is the perfect time to use it. You can't transfer points to Hyatt or to some other hotel chain that you really like. So book with cash through the portal and get your credit, or with Capital One, with the VentureX $300 credit that you get every year. Use this as an opportunity to book through that portal and get that credit. And I will mention, you brought up the Southwest Hotels website. That is an excellent way to get bonus points for Companion Pass. We are coming up on Companion Pass season. We're going to have a whole episode coming up dedicated to how you can earn the Southwest Companion Pass. And I remember with my very first Companion Pass, the way that I pieced together a lot of those points was booking a couple hotels when we went to national parks through the Southwest Hotels website. There are some hotels that they will say, oh, you get 3,000 bonus points or 4,000 bonus points for booking this hotel. And those help me get the Companion Pass. So there's a lot of options, even if you can't go the traditional route of booking with points, like you said.
Absolutely. All right, we are moving on to number four. And number four is my favorite because we are creatures of habit in my family. And I think the only place we ever go on family vacations is Florida. I tend to go adventuring by myself or with my daughter. But like as a family, we always seem to end up usually in Rosemary Beach. But I am a new lover of Fort Myers because of a trip that Mary Ellen and I went on. And so we decided, since we already did a full episode on that, we're going to let you educate us about somewhere new. And so we're going to do St. Augustine. And I know nothing about St. Augustine, but you were a Florida resident, so I feel like you have so much to share. I'm ready.
Okay, awesome. I'm excited to share about St. Augustine because when we lived in Florida, we lived about a half hour from St. Augustine, and that's where three of my kids were born, in St. Augustine. So we have become like St. Augustine experts. Whenever we felt like we need to get out of the house, that was where we went. So St. Augustine, you can fly into Jacksonville, which is a bigger airport that's pretty close. Daytona Beach is another option. That's a smaller airport, so you might have a little like fewer options. And then Orlando is another option. It's like an hour and a half away, but usually cheaper flights. So lots of options for getting to St. Augustine. A lot of things to do in St. Augustine. My favorite is St. George Street, which is kind of the pedestrian-only street in the historic downtown area. So really nice when you have young kids because you can actually like let them walk ahead of you and not worry about them like crossing a street, getting hit by a car. Like that was so nice for us to go when we had babies and toddlers. Shops, like souvenirs, historic, like the oldest wooden schoolhouse is located on St. George Street, candy shops, ice cream shops, like everything you can think of. It's just really a fun place to go as a family and just spend some time like popping in and out of shops and restaurants and things like that.
It sounds so charming, you know?
Yes, like, it's so charming.
I don't think of Florida as the South, but St. Augustine does have a little bit of, to me, like Southern, old Southern charm.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely has that. It's got the Spanish architecture and it's got like the really colonial vibes because it's one of, I believe it is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the United States. Like there are cities, I think around Pensacola that maybe started earlier, but St. Augustine was the one that was continuously inhabited. And so I think they claim the oldest city in the United States.
That's a cool little nugget of information. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So a lot of history there if you have kids that like history. Along those lines, you can visit the Fountain of Youth, which was discovered by Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon. And it's, you can try the water and see if you'll stay young eternally. I'm hoping it's working on me. I'm not sure. The water does taste like sulfur, so be prepared for that. But
gross.
Yeah, it's pretty
the gross. Price that we'll pay for youth.
For youth. But it's kind of just a fun, like, historic park. There's, like, displays, interactive exhibits you can walk around and visit, and then, of course, try the water at the Fountain of Youth. Another historic site is the Castillo de San Marcos. It's, like, a national historic site. So not a national park, but it's just an old fort. you can pay and go inside and go up on the top, and they have all the cannons, and you can learn about how they used it to like defend the city of St. Augustine. So very interesting. We also liked the Pirate Museum with kids. Yeah, like very intriguing for kids who are into that sort of thing. And it just talks about the history of pirates in the area. And I don't remember a lot because the kids were really young, and that was many years ago. It feels like that we were there, but I do remember it being very fun and kid friendly. Of course, there is a beach in St. Augustine, and I loved that beach with kids because the sand is like, it's a very wide beach. There's a lot of room to spread out. The sand is very soft, and I wouldn't say it's like a white sand beach, but it's like compared to our beach, we lived near Flagler Beach, which is like just south of it. And we had this like coquina, like almost rocky sand that you could never get off your legs. But St. Augustine has the really smooth, like almost white sand. And they also have a splash pad right in front of the beach. So great for like toddlers if you need a break from like them putting sand in their mouths and whatever. That's a good spot to go to. And
that's actually such a genius idea to put a splash pad at a beach.
We loved it. We were there quite a bit, I would say. And then last recommendation, I don't have a lot of restaurant recommendations, but here I will say the Hippo, H-Y-P-P-O. It's like a fruit stand store, and they have a few locations around St. Augustine, and they're like made with real fruit. So delicious for a hot day. Go to the Hippo and get fruit pops for the kids.
Yes. I love a real fruit pop. That's amazing.
Yes,
also, so I love that you told us what the beach was like, because people that are not from Florida or haven't been to Florida a lot do not understand that you can't just go to any place in Florida and like find a spectacular beach. In fact, I was a little shocked that Fort Myers didn't really have beaches to speak of near the place we were staying. In fact, we had to have like a private beach that the hotel created on like a little island. So it wasn't even real, but it felt real. It was lovely. But I think it's such good information for people to know what they're getting in terms of the type of the sand and the type of beach, because that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And it would be a shame to show up and find a rocky beach when you weren't expecting it. So
yes, exactly.
Mary Ellen, tell us about the hotel option. I think we found one in particular that looks like a really solid choice.
Well, you know, we don't look far. We look for points deals. And so there is a Category 3 Hyatt Place, St. Augustine. It's walking distance to the ocean. So that's all you need, right? Unless you're going to go like an Airbnb route, which I'm certain you could do in St. Augustine, and that would be probably really delightful. But if you want to go the hotel route, you can use a free night certificate because it's only Category 3. So we love that.
Absolutely. And walking distance to the beach on points, cannot beat it, in my opinion.
Can't beat it.
Plus the free breakfast. We love a Hyatt Place. Okay. We made it. What?
I don't know if this is the time to address the rumors, but.
Uh-oh. What rumors?
I know. So there are rumors going around. There are more and more Hyatt Places in the United States that are trialing not having free breakfast for the initial person, random person off the street who books the hotel. It will still be available for people who have status of discoverist, explorist, or globalist. So pretty much any level of status, you know, if you're a member of the Hyatt world, pretty much you qualify. But for other people, there's been a little sign popping up that says it's $11 for adults if you do not have this status. And I've been told from people that they're kind of trialing it. So it's hit or miss. Some locations are doing it. Most are still not, but it could be something that we start seeing popping up and more Hyatt Place locations. So let's cross our fingers that we don't.
Unacceptable.
I know.
Hyatt.
Unacceptable.
They already have plenty of Hyatts that don't have free breakfast. Leave our Hyatt Place free breakfast alone. Yes. Please.
Leave it alone, please. This is making me think of the old video about leaving Brittany alone. Leave Brittany alone.
What a flashback.
Breakfast alone.
I'm making a meme with this clip, just so you know.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. Oh yeah, it's happening. Okay, this brings us to number five, and we're doing pretty good. We're close to 45 minutes. We're still under an hour, guys. We are flying through these. Thank you so much, Emily, for being willing to keep up with our pace here.
Yes, of course.
All right, give us number five.
Okay, number five is a little bit of a kind of surprise destination. I think not a lot of people think of this place for a weekend getaway in the U.S., but I'm going to say West Virginia is one of the most beautiful places that people do not know about. And I'm specifically talking about New River Gorge National Park, which is one of the newest national parks in the United States. You can fly into Charleston, West Virginia. We road tripped all the way from Wisconsin, which was a long road trip, but that's what we do in the Midwest. We drive places.
Yep.
So we stayed in Beckley, West Virginia, but afterward, I kind of read that Fayetteville might be a better location to stay, but you know, wherever you can find, both are within driving distance easily of the national park. Things to do around New River Gorge National Park, I would say the New River Gorge Bridge is really cool, really big. I'm going to mess up what kind of bridge it is, but there were some fun facts I remember learning about it, like longest something steel something bridge. I don't know. Obviously, it didn't stick with
close me. Enough.
but it's beautiful. So
none of those fun facts ever stick at the parks, national parks.
Too much
They've got all the plaques
going on.
And you read them and you're like, wow, that's so cool. And then you leave and you're like, wait, what was it? I don't know.
100%.
I got other things to worry about. So it's a really cool looking bridge. I'll just say that. One of our favorite hiking trails was the Endless Wall Trail. Another really cool viewpoint to see that you don't have to hike to get to is the main overlook at Grandview. So if you just put in your GPS Grandview Visitor Center, you just walk like a few feet away from the visitor center, and there's this beautiful overlook of like this valley with a river, the New River Gorge. And it's just an incredible overlook point. And there's a hike you can do from there. My kids were really young when we did this, and we were just getting a little nervous because there were big drop-offs. So just be aware of that. If you're not a hiking family, that might be one to save for when your kids are a bit older, the hike near Grandview. But then the coolest thing I'll say that is not in the national park is that in Beckley, West Virginia, you can go to an exhibition coal mine, which is, it used to be an active coal mine, and now they just use it like for education purposes. And you get to like ride one of those little, I don't know if it's like a train or what you would call it, like a little car down into the coal mine. And someone who used to work in the coal mines is like giving you a tour and telling you how it worked and what the dangers were. And it was just one of the most unexpectedly educational experiences we've ever had from an area of the country that I feel like is so often overlooked. And my kids were really young, but they loved it. And then there were like, there was an old schoolhouse there that you could visit and learn how the kids used to go to school, like for the families that lived around the coal mine camp. And then it would show you like what the different rooms would look like for people that worked in the coal mine, for like single people or married people. And it was just like, it blew me away. So the Beckley Exhibition Coal Mine, very cool experience.
That sounds,
Joanna,
absolutely amazing. Yes.
Listen, ladies. Okay. I'm going to tell you something that might sound shocking. I will run off the side of a mountain in Switzerland and paraglide and fly through the sky with nothing but a parachute above me. But I will not ride a cart down into a little coal mine. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That shocks me about you.
Listen, Mammoth
in
Cave
the mine,
National Park.
In the mine. I was
going
watching
down
Snow
in
White.
The cave. Mm-mm. Nope. I am something about that. I'm like claustrophobic. I love that show on Hallmark because I'm an old soul called Wind Calls the Heart. And they have the,
yes,
you know, the
yes.
first season, they go mm-hmm. down in the coal mine and there's the explosion. Mm-mm.
Well,
nope. Not
okay.
gonna
but
do
it's
it.
Not even active anymore. But that was, I mean, working in coal mines was extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I would be so, so fascinated to go and see one and just learn the history. I wish that my kid loved history as much as I do. But, you know, I didn't like it when I was her age either. It's weird how much I can absorb things now. I almost wish I could go back and retake all my history classes because I care now. But,
agreed.
Oh well.
Agreed.
Anyways, it cracks me up that you would not be willing to do that. You're so adventurous. That is so funny. So
everybody has their limits.
No spelunking for you?
Absolutely not.
I have spelunked multiple times and I rather enjoy it, but I will not paraglide off the side of a mountain. So I guess, you know, balance in all things. Let's talk through hotels. So we have a Holiday Inn and Suites Beckley, which is IHG. You can transfer those points from Chase. And that one, I was looking for some random dates next year, early in the year. It looks like it's about 24,000 points a night for that one. And remember, we've got the fourth night free with IHG award stays. So if you're making it a four-night trip and you're paying 4 points, you can kind of average those points across the four nights with that fourth night free, which is nice. And then there is a Hampton Inn, and that one is more expensive, 40,000 points a night. But remember that if you're transferring points from American Express to Hilton, they are transferring 1 to 2. So with your American Express points, it's actually only 20,000 points a night, which is another pretty good deal.
Okay, so Emily, you gave us five. You gave us in and around Vegas, Washington, D.C., South Dakota, Black Hills, and Badlands National Park, St. Augustine, Florida, and West Virginia, New River Gorge National Park. But
almost heaven.
There was one. Sorry. That was five, but we have one more because you mentioned another one when we were brainstorming and talking about the places that you wanted to mention. And there was one that I just did not want you to leave off because I don't know that I've ever talked to anyone about visiting it. And so I'm very curious. Boise.
Yes.
Tell us more.
So I love Scott's Cheap Flights, which is now called Going. And when I'm not using points to book flights, that's where I go to. And I kind of like just wait and see where the deals take me. So this was like in 2020. I was itching to travel. And I saw a cheap flight to Boise, and I asked my parents, because my husband's a teacher, so like during the school year, I am flexible, but he's not. So yeah. I asked my parents, like, hey, do you want to come to Idaho with me? And my dad's like, what's in Idaho? And I was like, I don't know. It's supposed to be beautiful. Like, let's just go check it out.
Potatoes? Maybe?
Yeah, so, I don't know. But, well, and one of my kids was like 3 at the time, so he's like, what are we going to see? And I was like, potatoes and mountains, potatoes and mountains.
And there's a blue football field too there. Yes. I'm a college football fan, so I knew there was a blue football field.
Yeah, so we flew into Boise, and then we road tripped immediately out to Sun Valley, and this was in fall. And that, I would say, was the best time to visit because you don't have the summer crowds and you don't have the ski crowds yet. So it's like the small ski town, so it's very charming in the mountains. But there were zero crowds. Part of that might have been because it was 2020. So I don't want to like mislead people that it's like always like this. But I think that was also because it's the off season. And the trees are just shimmering gold. We went right at the end of October. So it was very late in the fall season. Shimmering gold trees. The hikes we went on were just incredibly beautiful. Again, easy hikes because I had a 3-year-old and a baby with me. And so just some easy hikes, a lot of scenic drives, and then just walking around like the cute little town of Ketchum. And then Sun Valley Resort also has its own little like village you can walk around. So just go check out Sun Valley Resort, even though that is not budget friendly, even in the off season. Mm-hmm. So we stayed in the town of Haley, which is just outside of Sun Valley because we're on a budget. And so we just would drive in and like go walk around and visit. And then we also spent 2 nights in Boise and we went and saw the blue football field and we did a little bit of a hike, like up, I don't remember what the hike was called, but it's just like a quick uphill, like you're hiking to the top of a rock with a cool view of the city. We went to the downtown area and there was like a graffiti area, like alley you could walk down. We, of course, ate French fries because you got to, you know, potatoes, Idaho, you got to do that. And then we went and saw the Capitol. So a lot of things to do around that area.
I love that because it's another one that I just don't ever hear anyone talk about. I would have said the same thing. What's in Boise? I don't yes. know. Potato. I do love a potato and I love a mountain. So sign me right. up, really.
Put it together.
But
you got Idaho.
Yeah. So was the town name you said Ketchum?
Yes, Ketchum is like, I don't know exactly if this is right, but I think Ketchum is the name of the town and then Sun Valley is the resort.
Okay.
So yeah, the town of Ketchum is just so cute. Like just exactly what you would want from like a charming mountain ski town.
Have you been to Park City, Utah?
No, but
this is the only reference I have. I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. We actually had a whole episode with our friend Lisa all about Utah and how family friendly it is and budget friendly and all the points ideas. So if you want anything to help you plan that trip, we are here for you. But that is another one of those like mountain towns, Park City, Utah specifically. Yeah, it's like so charming, so quaint, up in the mountains. And that's all I'm picturing. So I was just wondering if you knew if it was like that, because I would go there literally tomorrow if someone would let me.
I'll have to go check that out.
Mary Ellen, I think we've got to do our hotel recommendations and then bring this train into the station.
Yes. So there are three Hyatt places in and around the Boise area. There's a category 3 in downtown, and then there's 2 category 2 options. So very affordable for weekend trips, very low point rates. So you can get a steal and go see those gorgeous trees, which now I'm dying to go see. That sounds so beautiful. I was thinking the same thing, Joanna. It was taking me to those videos that Lisa sent us of Salt Lake City. So that sounds really, really beautiful.
It does. And I think that I see really cheap Southwest, like all the time when Southwest runs their sales, I swear that there are like some of those $49 flights to Boise. I never paid attention because I was like, why would I want to go there? And now I feel silly because chase the deal, not the destination. And you might be surprised what you find.
I know that's my favorite thing, that you went, you followed the, you know, where was the deal? There's a good flight. Let's just go. Let's just check it out. That's so cool.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for giving us your Sunday evening. You guys don't know this because nobody can see us, but it's late on a Sunday night for us mamas over here. So we appreciate you, Emily, for being with us tonight. As we are wrapping up, tell everybody where they can find you and get all of your offerings, and give us the name of someone else, a travel creator that you think all of our listeners should follow.
Okay. Well, you can find me on all social media as A Mom Explores. I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok. And then my blog is also called A Mom Explores. And there I have longer form articles with like in-depth itineraries and things like that. And then I also have a podcast called the Travel with Kids podcast. So that one is kind of just my passion project for fun. And I just started the third season. So that's kind of where I recap all of our family trips. And it's just kind of low key and fun and off the cuff. So that is where that's you can awesome. Find me. So I actually have 2 recommendations for people to follow because we brought up Boise and Idaho. My friend Stephanie, her handle is The Backpacking Mom, just had her 4th baby, but she lives in Idaho and she shows all of like the beauty. She's very like one of the coolest moms I've ever met, like goes backpacking with her kids, like backcountry with babies and toddlers. Like she's amazing. And so she shows all of the things to do in Idaho. She leads like women's yurt trips. So go follow her for more cool Idaho content. And then Mrs. Blanks is active on Instagram and TikTok, and she shows a lot more international travel with kids. So if you want to be inspired of like cool places to take your kids, like her family has been everywhere, Southeast Asia, Europe, the Caribbean, like they do it all. And they're such a fun family to follow along with.
That is awesome. We are going to link them up in the show notes. I've been following The Backpacking Mom for a long time. So I love that you guys are friends. I just love it when I find out like people from Instagram like connect in that kind of way. We've made so many awesome friends through the podcast, through Instagram. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun in this travel community. So we're going to link both of them up, and then we're going to link all of your offerings up and your podcast so people can be sure to go listen to that as well. And we just really appreciate you being with us. Thank you for coming and spending an hour of your time.
Thank you for having me. I could talk about travel for hours and often do. So thank you for having me.
Right?
Us too. You're in the right place. If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.